Sexy in Van City may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend this hour, we're very, very glad to have you. One of the things that I think people think about when they think about dating is sometimes movies. And I know sometimes that can be a really light commercial thing, but movies aren't always a light commercial thing. And we can still, it can be a opportunity to sit in the dark, laugh, cry, connect, and really, really feel things and also learn a lot about different places. So I think it's really important to go to movies and not just what Hollywood gives, even though sometimes that stuff can be fun too. But there's a lot of different types of films out there. And what makes me very happy is I've got a wonderful sexy man in the studio right now who has created a wonderful initiative that not only educates, puts on some amazing documentaries, and creates community and literally a change maker and raises money for different causes. If you haven't figured out who I'm talking about yet, I'm talking about the lovely, the wonderful, the fabulous Mohammed
Ehab.
Thank you. I just blanked right out on your last name, and please forgive me.
No problem. And thanks for the compliments.
You're welcome. And I just love what you've done with Real Causes. So for our audience who may or may not have be familiar, if you want to just tell them a little bit about what Real Causes is. And
yeah, Real Causes is a nonprofit film society. A Vancouver film society that started September 2010. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we use the platform of film. You know, we all go to films and enjoy film, film evenings, like exactly you said. And the idea is to use the platform of film to showcase local charities and the great work they do in the community. So use these events to educate the public about those charities and engage the film audience with those charities and help them raise funds as well through ticket sales at the event.
And speaking from somebody who works in the charitable sector when I'm not on air, I can say that is a very, very welcome, wonderful thing to be highlighted, acknowledged, and also funds that are very, very needed for different endeavors. One of the things I love, though, as well as all that wonderful stuff, is the fact how you started Real Causes, which I think is super cool, because Vancouver's got this reputation of being in just a not very friendly city. Vancouver Foundation did a survey not that long ago, I believe it came out in 2012, about the fact that a lot of people in Vancouver feel isolated and don't feel connected to community. Mm-hmm. And through film and something you're really passionate about, you created this beautiful community that not only creates a wonderful change and empowers other people to do so. You've also created this lovely community where people actually connect. And I just love for you to share it because I think it's such a cool story.
Thank you. So the story started when I moved from Cairo, that's where I was born and where I grew up, to Canada to work as a pharmacist. That's how I pay my bills. And I didn't know a single person in Vancouver when I moved. And luckily, 2 weeks after I moved, I came across this website, meetup.com, where people create activity groups and meet and share their activities and meet each other. And I thought this is a cool idea to make new friends. It was summer, I joined a few outdoors hiking groups and started making friends. And then I thought, okay, film is my biggest passion. And I like documentaries and foreign films. And why not I start my own meetup group? And that would be a great way to meet like-minded people. So I didn't know how the setup for this group would be, and I thought, okay, why not invite people to my living room and cook, show them some Egyptian hospitality and cook Egyptian food and have a potluck and screen a movie and have a chat about it in my living room afterwards. So I was having those total strangers in my living room after I started the meetup group online, and
You're a
we
brave man.
and that's actually I made great friendships from those people later on. Those were the core group of my friends in Vancouver, and as I had more and more meetups, I think my living room was one of the hot spots in Vancouver at that time, and I used to have long wait lists just to come at to Mo's living room, as they used to say at that time. And then fast forward 2 years down the road, I had 800 members in this group.
That's pretty impressive in 2 years.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow.
And of course, my living room was not big enough to host all these people. And we used to go at that time to film theaters in the city and go afterwards for a restaurant, a pub, a cafe to talk about the films. We used to go in 30 groups of 30, 40 people. I used to pick the film and we used to have great discussions. And at that point, a thought came to me, especially that one of my goals before coming to Canada was to be an active member in the community. It's not only about settling, but also to give back. And so I thought of when I had those 800 members that I had the power to tell them to, oh, I picked this film for you. Let's go to this cinema, and they would follow me. I thought that why not use this power of people who like watching films and like to learn about different issues that the world cares about, and they want to see the world a better place, and they want to learn about different stuff through film. Why not organize film events where we go to watch the same films, but what they pay for a ticket goes to help someone instead of just being part of the commercial, going just for commercial purposes. So that's when Real Causes was born.
Wow.
Yeah, and so there were challenges to make this happen. So where would I find a film? You know, renting a film space in Vancouver is expensive, and getting the license for a film is expensive, especially at that time that I was just operating by myself, and the Real Causes was just more of an idea. And so I was lucky to find a lecture room in Langara College that had film audiovisual facilities at a cheap price. It was $50 at that time, and I was lucky to. There was a Canadian film at it was the year 2010. I moved to Vancouver in 2008, so it was the year 2010. 2010, there was a excellent Canadian film that didn't get, although it was excellent, you know, because the usually Hollywood film dominate the
I was
distribution.
just going to say, yeah, it's
Yeah.
a Canadian film.
Yeah.
And yeah,
Yes.
unfortunately, not
Unfortunately,
as
yeah.
much
Exactly.
coverage as possible. So not as many people see it. Hence,
Yeah.
it's hard to get distribution sometimes in
Exactly.
our industry.
Yeah. So I came across this film. I contacted the producer. It was called Amal. And the producer liked the idea of Real Causes and donating the tickets to a charity. And he was generous enough to give me the film for free. So now I had a theater at almost no cost. I had a great film. I chose the Vancouver Food Bank to donate the film proceeds to. invited my meetup group and all my friends that I have made over all over those 2 years to come and watch the film. And on top of that, I got the filmmaker who was in Toronto by Skype to do a Q&A after the film, and representatives from the food bank came and presented the film, which was great. So film audience engaged with the organization and learned about their most recent projects. They enjoyed the film evenings, what they paid good for, went for charity, and we supported a local filmmaker. So what a great evening it was. And and so that energy that was generated from that night attracted one of our founding board members, Dana DeCoven, who came to me and told me, which was a validation for what I'm doing. Like, I'm not some crazy dude from Cairo.
Well, if you are a crazy dude from Cairo, you had 800 followers already. So obviously people want to be crazy with you. Yeah. So there you go. They wanted to be part of it.
Yeah, she came and she offered help, and things started moving after that. Besides Dana, another great friend of mine, Robert Davidson, offered to sponsor the cost of moving Real Causes to events to a bigger film theater rather than a lecture hall. Although it was great at Langara, but we needed to get out to more, reach out to more audience, and maybe.
Well, with 800 people who are on your meetup group, I'm sure that you'd pack up that lecture hall. So you needed a bigger space because you outgrew it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Robert orchestrated a discussion with Vancity Theatre and Vancouver International Film Festival, and they offered to host our events, and Robert offered to sponsor from his own pocket the events, which was something that still touches me till now.
Yeah.
I mean, something believing in my, someone who was born and raised and grew up here, who believed in my idea. So it's really something that really touches me. And after Robert, another great friend of mine, Maharuna, came, and she arranged a discussion with the Vancity Credit Union, who stepped in and sponsored the cost of our events at Vancity Theatre.
Wow.
So things, you mean, it's amazing. It's just you put the idea and you believe in it, and then the universe sends you all these amazing people.
Yeah.
And this energy kept going from Dana to Robert to Maharuna. We have great people now on the board of directors as well. Ian Merkel, who was the founder, was the executive directors of the Jewish Film Festival. We have Mary MacPherson, who has great experience in working with volunteers and in the hospitality business as well. And we had other great people, Lisa Maiton, Jocelyn Chi, Kelly Schmidt, great people who came and joined and added in their capacities. And now we have SFU as our community partner. And so they are generously hosting our events. And it's a great partnership and to be affiliated with SFU, and they are doing great work in the community in different levels. So it's over maybe 3.5 years since that journey started. It's been really great, and I would say it's one, maybe the best time of my life. I would say just it's a different feeling that when you you have a success. Maybe it's a different feeling from being successful as a pharmacist, for example. It's
it's something you created, where it was a vision that was in your head that has taken a life, and it's fully fleshed up and it's grown up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is a beautiful thing to see.
Thank you.
Welcome.
And along the road, yeah, every month we have supported a different Vancouver charity and invited them to come to the events and engage with the public. And so many organizations have been exposed to lots of people who didn't know they existed in our community, and they're doing great work.
Yeah.
And like I said, on top of that, they got the opportunity to fundraise for themselves as well. And I think even I see the big value in the education and engaging with public, that there are some great organizations that do work in our community that people don't know about. And it's a great opportunity to use those events to highlight this work. Yeah.
Well, you've got one coming up this Tuesday, and I know you're supporting Ashanti Uganda, which is a wonderful organization as well. And you've got a really incredible film. I don't know if you want to share about that. And I was shocked when I found out this subject. I shouldn't be so surprised, because it's, as you said, it's not just Uganda that things are going on in, in terms of homophobia in general. I just think with everything in Russia, that seems to be predominantly in mainstream media what we hear about, but it's everywhere.
Exactly.
Like you said, in Egypt, where it's not safe.
Exactly. Yeah, the film where we try to get films that that will showcase as much as possible, mainstream issues and relevant issues, hot topics, in other words, and high quality films as well. So one of the, if our listeners would Google the top 10 documentaries of 2013, in all lists they will find a documentary called God Loves Uganda. And that's, I think it was on the short list for the Oscars.
Wow.
This year. It was in the 10, top 10, and they picked five other documentaries. But anyway, God Loves Uganda is highly acclaimed. It's an excellent documentary, and it tracks the roots of the anti-homosexuality bill that was passed last. I think it's a couple of months now, and this was all over the news, and like you said, it's been shadowed by what's happening in Russia and Air Malaysia flight and many other issues. I would just invite our listeners to go and watch the trailer on YouTube, and it's so intriguing, and it would make them go to our website and book their ticket to watch the show.
Wow.
You would think that it started in this anti-homosexuality bill and this this tension against homosexuals started in Uganda, or it's because of maybe some tribal or issues. But no, it's actually, as the documentary would tell, started in the U.S. So I'll let them look at the trailer and come to our event to see how this developed.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just to mention as well that it's for the first time that, and this is because of the popularity that of Real Causes events. And I was talking to you before the interview and how this becomes more demanding and you want to do more. We have two organizations. So besides Shanti Uganda, we're also presenting the Rainbow Refugee Committee. So it's another great organization that supports
the LGBTQ community.
Exactly, yeah. So, there will be, I'm hoping we'll have a big turnout from the community at large, of course. Mm-hmm. And I think especially for the members of the LGBT community, activists and members, it would be of great interest because, like you have mentioned, Uganda is the country that just happened to be in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
But coming from the Middle East, and I have traveled a bit in different parts of the world, where it's not only Uganda, it's a global issue that needs more attention from people, and it gets so much shadowed in many parts of the world. So mm-hmm. I mean, and every little bit helps. So it's I hope to see as many people to fill the theater on Tuesday and go afterwards and share the what they have seen in the movie and put their share it outside with their friends through social media, word of mouth, whatever. Mm-hmm. Every bit helps, definitely.
Yes. You've supported a lot of different charities, shared a lot of films as well. This one sounds really powerful. Have there been other ones that have really just resonated where, especially in regards to sexuality or relationships, that just kind of went like, whoa, like, I really need to share this. I need to have this film shown. And when you did share it, what was the reaction? And have you ever been surprised by audience reaction from some of the films?
When you said the relationships, mm-hmm. something came into mind, which was last month event, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it's brand, it's fresh.
Mm.
So it was one of the Oscar-nominated documentaries all the Oscars were on the 2nd of March. It was one of those 5 documentaries.
Oh, wow.
It's called Cutie and the Boxer.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
It's about those Japanese couple / artists who have been living in New York, and they have been married for 40 years. And so the documentary have been showing the story of their 40 years marriage, their ups and downs, and it's from the eye of, so Cutie and the Boxer is like their alter egos. So Cutie is the wife,
okay.
or the female artist, and the Boxer is the,
is him,
yeah, because he uses boxing gloves to create art, which was very interesting to see in the film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it was such a intense and yet deep and very touching look at their relationship. Mm-hmm. Like from her side, she saw how at time he was kind of abusive of her kindness, and how she was she totally neglected her art and her creativity just to take care of him and their child.
Hmm.
How he had problems with alcohol, and she still stood there for their family. And
wow.
How now her art now is reviving or coming, resurfacing after 40 years, and how she is living with all her resentment of these memories, but now she's enjoy. The conclusion was at the end of the film that she's coming with this creative power. Who I think he felt after all these years that it's his role to endorse her and support her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing great art, and she said that. She acknowledges that maybe she wouldn't have come to create this great art now unless she had passed through this. And
wow,
she in a way she tells her life experience with him, and she celebrates whatever she is in now.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone in the audience were kind of real. It was done in such a beautiful way, mixing art with humor, with deep conversations, mm-hmm. with reflections on their relationship, and everyone had some connection to a different level to what's happening in the film, and it was great. It was really a piece of a great piece of art and a reflection on relationships and sacrifice and what true love is.
Wow. So based on that, what's your definition of true love?
Oh, my definition of true love. I think it's that's a good one. Maybe I would unconditional love, maybe No. Yes. Just I think it's a feeling that it's a continuous sense of giving. I think that's giving, feeling, giving in different ways. This is true love, and it doesn't have to be saying to someone "I love you," but it could be giving to the world. It could be giving to your lover. It could be giving to your family, and giving from your heart. So that's true love, giving and celebrating and enjoying what you give to others. Yeah, it could be to your community, it could be to anyone, it could be to the environment, to the planet, and giving it from your heart, feeling it. I think that's true love. And it makes you feel alive, it makes you feel happy, and want it, it's makes you want to give more, and so it's great.
Where it kind of feeds you in some way, where you want to keep giving more because you get joy. Kind of like giving, I love giving stuff to children at Christmas, watching their eyes light up, or better yet, an adult when they're least expecting a present, where they're so surprised because we're not used to getting presents as much as adults. So, because, yeah, we always think of it as for kids, but just that beautiful joy that's come when somebody's eyes light up because they're just so happy, or you just want to do it again, where it's like, I can't wait. I got to figure this out when I can sneak and do this again.
I think that stays with you for life, these images of that spark in the eye, or so that exactly you, I think you answered my question. So I would say that just making an impact in someone's life, just what make that's what makes my day, and feeling that you look back, you reflect on your previous years or what you have done in your life, and you remember that you helped someone accomplish something, or you did something simple, or just even you gave time to listen to someone, and that relieved them and made them happy and more relieved. Even simple things as that I think that's something that really makes me happy, just feeling that you contributed in someone's life, even in the most simple way, and just made their day better, or their hour better, or as much as you can.
And I think sometimes by listening to somebody, it's bigger. It may be simple, but sometimes it's the richest gift you can give someone. It makes them feel alive. It makes them not feel invisible, which I think sometimes people feel that they're like ghosts, where they're just screaming, wanting to be seen. And by being able to hold space for them and listen, it's one of the greatest gifts you can give someone.
Absolutely.
So from that film, The Boxer and Cutie that we were talking about earlier, you mentioned that that was a really great one with relationships. Was that one of the ones that was there any surprises in the feedback afterwards? That some of the discussion? Because I imagine sometimes there's stuff that when you want to share it, it's like, hey, I need to share this. But at the same time, some of them must come up with some really interesting conversations that sometimes you may agree with, some maybe not quite so much, but definitely gets the conversation going.
I think what surprised me was I think I thought in the beginning that I knew the film was nominated for an Oscar, so it must have been well made and must have got some critical acclaim, but I was not sure if the crowds would like it. And to my surprise, yeah, everyone was really so happy to have been at that screening and watched the film. I think I've had different comments at how they evolved, the way their relationship evolved, and feeling her the way she looked at the relationship, and feeling for their son as well. So the children side, how children, because in the film they show their son as well, and he I think he had his issues as well, and so they were talking about how things like these kinds of issues that relationships go through over the years can affect children.
Yes.
And so that's something that I was not maybe paying attention to, but yeah, it was that perspective on family and children as well,
mm-hmm.
in the film, which they didn't show their son much, but the few shots he was there, it was very kind of very expressive of what the impact of the relationship had. So yeah, that was something that kind of stayed with me as well. Yeah.
Well, for the film that's coming up on Tuesday, mm-hmm. God Loves Uganda.
Yeah.
If you could wave a magic wand and discussion, like, what are some of the key points that you'd like for the discussion afterwards?
It's something also to spice the event and make people more excited, is we have a panel after the film.
Okay.
And we have people from both Shanti Uganda and Rainbow Refugee Committee in the panel, and we have by Skype one of the leaders of a nonprofit society in Uganda who are helping members of the LGBT community. So after the film, I'm sure there will be many questions about what's happening in Uganda now. Mm-hmm. So we'll get that by answer by Skype through our guest.
Mm-hmm.
And where are we standing locally now? Are there any issues that maybe we don't know about? Maybe mm-hmm. that it's not highlighted in our local media as well?
Yes.
And what could be done to, if there's something now that we need to improve locally, what needs to be done? And if there is something that we can do as a group, that even go and share a hashtag or a tweet that would maybe do some send some international message to move that
that bill.
Yeah, maybe there is something that we need to do. So it's how to work. This is the action component, how mm-hmm. to when we watch films, especially the ones that we screen at Real Causes, people get that energy that they want to do something, and then they go home and the next day they go to work, and this energy, unfortunately, is big part of it is lost.
It is. It gets dissipated. Yeah.
So having panels and local speakers, and it helps really capture some of that energy and as much as we can transform it into actions that mm-hmm. build on the energy generated at those events.
Yeah. In terms of for the organizations that are working with Uganda, is it safe for them to be speaking out about, like, just the LGBTQ community with just everything going on?
I know members of the Shanti Uganda mm-hmm. organization travel between Uganda and Vancouver. And I hope this was not, like, our screening will not be an issue for them. I'm sure that that documentary is banned in Uganda. I'm sure
yeah.
of that. But so I hope they are very excited about the event and engaging with the public. And
mm-hmm.
And I hope our event will support whatever they are doing by engaging more with the Vancouver community, and
yes.
will not be an issue for them with their directors going back and forth between Vancouver and Uganda.
Yeah, no,
for
it's just,
field work, yeah.
yeah, no, I was worried about that just because just the law apparently states that the registration of businesses or non or NGOs would be canceled if they are found guilty of the promotion of homosexuality.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's,
I hope it goes safe for
I
them.
hope so too, because that would be bad. So, yeah. Out of all the films that you've done and all the ones you want to do in the future, if you could wave a magic wand, money not being an issue, and what would you envision? And not, it doesn't have to stay in Vancouver. I just, whatever it is, if you could change things in terms of using film as a way to build community and connect people and educate.
Actually, one of our vision as a society is
Mm-hmm.
to we believe that the real causes model, it's doable in every city. We're working now on establishing ourselves in Vancouver and sustaining ourselves. You know, as
Yes.
a nonprofit organization, we're all volunteers, and it's for I'm sure from your own personal experience, you
Yes.
know the challenges. And especially that we're a new organization, so we're in that level of that space of trying to move to the next level of getting more revenues as an organization to sustain our expense, to cover our expenses and hire staff. And
Yes.
our next step would be to have real causes in all the big cities in Canada.
Nice.
So Real Causes Vancouver, Real Causes Toronto, Real Causes Calgary, Real Causes Montreal, and the model is can be created anywhere, and why not? You, sky's the limit. We can have a go south of the border, have real causes in the U.S., and maybe
Yeah.
it goes and spreads everywhere else. You never know. So we hope we take it one step at a time, and we put our hearts there, and hopefully we'll make it there.
Well, I know you've got the screening on Tuesday. What's next for Real Causes and yourself after this?
In May, we have another great documentary. It's 29th of May. So our listeners, we have a good time to book their calendars and not get commitments
Yes.
for that evening. By the way, all our screenings take place at the Woodward's at 7 p.m. So just for everyone to know, at the Woodward's building, SFU Woodward's in Guesttown. So the 29th of May screening is William and the Windmill, and it's a great documentary. Again, one of the top documentaries last year, and it's about William is from Malawi in Africa. So he's the subject of the documentary and his story. William, it was in Vancouver a couple of weeks ago for TED,
Oh,
for that day.
wow.
He was one of the speakers. And the windmill is his story in his village and how he built that windmill that uses local resources for clean energy.
Oh, wow.
And it's, I'll let the listeners go and look at the trailer for
And
William
check
and the
it
Windmill. And
out.
it's and you know we're big in Vancouver on clean energy and
Sustainability.
sustainability, so that's we're looking forward to get lots of audience for this one, and very excited about this one as well.
No, that's awesome. And full circle, what do you envision in the next 3 years?
3 years, we hope get more sustainability is what we're is on top of our priority now. So getting so being well established in Vancouver, getting more maybe higher staff and have paid positions because it's all volunteer now, and get funding and sponsorships, and it will enable us to maximize the potential there, whether it's we can expand along Greater Vancouver and reach communities like Richmond and Surrey,
West.
Coquitlam, New West, and like I said, we really, once we reach that step, our next would be to go to other big cities in Canada. So hopefully within the next 3 years, we can meet again
and we'll be discussing that, yes. Which would be lovely.
Yeah.
In regards to dating in Vancouver, and that may sound like a weird thing, but I'm going to ask because, as I said at the top of the show, a lot of people, when they think of going on a date, I don't count coffee as a date. sorry, everybody out there. That's just an actual meeting to see if it's actually worth going on a date. That's not a date. So, with that, a movie can be a date. But that said, I do really encourage somebody to go for coffee with somebody first to make sure that somebody you want to sit beside for the next couple hours in the theater. But I think perhaps if you've gotten to know somebody, gone and hung out with them a few times first, I think this is a great opportunity not just to go. And everybody go anyway, whether you're dating or not, because who knows, you might meet somebody super cute there. Yeah. But I think it's really important, because one of the big things with dating is because we're always under such good behavior. And I think with documentaries, it either gels with you, where it resonates something inside you where you need to speak, and almost forces you to align with your own values. And good relationships, I believe, are because of the fact people align with the same value systems and sometimes same lifestyle choices. So whether or not they want to move to the country and have children where it's just more a little bit quieter than in the heart of the city, or whether or not they don't want kids and they want to be going out every night. Like, it depends what they want at this stage of their life.
Exactly.
But I think being exposed and watching documentaries just in general, and especially the one that's coming up for Tuesday, I think it just resonates and kicks stuff in and makes us really think, what do we really value? And it might just kick some of that stuff up faster. So I really encourage you, if you're dating somebody, go to the movies, engage in conversation, connect, because you'll also see what that person's like with other people that you may not know very well yet.
Absolutely.
So if you're scared to introduce them to your friends and family, bring them in the community where you're connecting, and you'll see really fast whether or not it's a good fit or not in terms of your relationship.
Exactly. And I've known, I tell my friends that through my film group, I have 7 relationships I've seen being formed, and they are all my friends. And when we go somewhere, they say, oh, we think it was because of Muhammad and his movies. So that's definitely films that especially that films that highlight certain values. If you're going for a date with someone and you share the same values, and the types of films that we screen highlight certain values. And by the way, they don't have always to be intense or dark or depressing, but it strengthens that kind of connection between a couple who are still learning about themselves, because the conversations that are generated after the film are really interesting.
And,
I've seen this happening, and was successful for 7 or 8 of my couple friends.
And I'm going to encourage that for everybody who doesn't believe movies are a good place for a date, to break that stereotype, especially since it's going out afterwards for some discussion.
Exactly.
I think is huge. The other thing I was going to suggest as well is, for all of those people out there who may be thinking that Vancouver is a really hard city to date in, it can be, because it does have a reputation of being isolating and hard to connect to community. This is a really great opportunity to connect to community, do some good so you can feel good. Even if the date doesn't turn out, you might meet somebody cute there. So, so you never know. So I'm really going to encourage, just check it out. And for those couples who have been together for a long time, who are comfortable, almost complacent in your relationship. And I'm going to describe it as bed death, where there's just doesn't feel like there's that intimacy, that connection anymore. I think by really thinking of discussion and prompting with just the way we feel in movies, having that conversation afterwards, perhaps that can be the billows that kind of light that fire again and start really kicking in when you recognize again, like, are these the same values? Do we still have the same values that we did when we fell in love?
I totally agree with that, yeah.
And if not, it's time to let go. Because that means there's somebody out there who's even better for both of you. But I really encourage, go to the movies. So
I agree.
If you could, about your passion with film, if you could educate kids and basically grade 1 to grade 3 and go in and do a talk about why film is really important and how it really connects us to just humanity, other human beings, and how it can be used for good, what would you want to say?
I would show them, I would pick a film, and I think kids at that age engage visually more than I would talk little and show them, make sure I make a good selection of film that will teach them the values of, that is appropriate for that age, whatever message we want to teach them. So I remember I read something that said that one good film is more powerful than 100 speeches. And I think this is even more, that resonates more with kids. They are, I know most of my friends, they have children, and they're very attached to all the Disney animation movies, and they keep watching them over and over. So, and sometimes it's good and bad, like all these video games. And so the visual element is very important for kids. So I would make sure that my speech is short and the message is there through the film material that I'm bringing to kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, they actually say we get 90% of our information from what we see and 10% from what we hear.
Yeah.
So if the words don't match the picture, we stop listening to and try and fix it in our heads.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And so just to recap for our listeners, please go check out Real Causes, realcauses.org. And it's real as in like a film reel, so exactly. R-E-E-L, exactly. Just in case.
That's what I stress every time.
So go and check it out. And please go and see the documentary. And if you want to, just share comments on Facebook, on Twitter, because you guys are very active on Twitter and social media in general. I think it's really key, but more important, just please, you know, support their causes and really participate in the discussion, because I think it's a really important one.
Thank you, Caroline. It's been an honor to be in the show and to share with your listeners my story in Canada and Real Causes. I would like to invite them all to the best thing to learn about Real Causes is to, that's all what we always say, is to come to a Real Causes event
and experience it.
Yes, exactly. So I look forward to meeting as many of your listeners on Tuesday as possible.
That sounds perfect. Up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his awesome music. And he did come in earlier, but I didn't get to see his shoes. He usually has like the most amazing shoes. Wow. So yes, you could give most fashionistas a run for their money. So you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And we will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone. Good night.